to know the name of Jesus, know that there is power in that name. You see, we know that there is power in the name because of what he has done for us. Amen. We know that there is power in that name because he has delivered us. Amen. We know that there is power in that name because death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. But yet, because who he was and who he is and who he is to come, he is alive and well. And we know there is power in that name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are normally going to be sing only two songs, but I'm going to have to go one more song. I want to play Waymaker this morning. There's a sweet presence in this place this morning. And it's just a sweet presence that I don't want to rush this. Is that okay? Everybody with me? If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So worship the Lord a little longer. Hallelujah.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
Waymaker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're feeling what I'm feeling. Hallelujah. But it's a beautiful sight to see those that are lifting up and worshiping the Lord. It's a beautiful sight to see the power of God moving among the people of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I just want to share with you a couple scriptures that God had laid upon my heart. And as I try to force the sermon, catch that. As I try to force the sermon, God says, no. Okay. And so this morning I want to just share with you a scripture found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And I've shared this multiple times. But for some reason, it's for this hour. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, we find that Paul had written to the children of God as a way of reminder, as a way of encouragement. And here it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Let me stop there for a second. Let me expound on this for a little bit. You know, in our life, we're going to face a lot of things. And I've heard many people say, well, you know, that's just part of life, you know, what you're dealing with. And that's just things, you know, that just happen. But I believe that everything that we deal with, everything that happens in our life pertains to something more in a spiritual sense. That we are facing things because of battles that are going on behind the scenes. We're facing things because we're getting prepared. We're getting prepared for something more. And that is why it happens. And so here Paul is reminding them, for though we walk in this flesh, though we are in this human flesh, we do not fight or we do not war in the flesh. But he says we war in the spirit. This is something that we need to be reminded of. I'm reminded of in the book of Acts when the disciples and all those that were up in the upper room waiting for the promise. The last week I spoke on tarrying until. And here they're waiting for the promise. But I believe that it was a time of preparation. Because when they were in the upper room, they were in one mind and one accord. Are you hearing me today? It was preparation that was occurring right then and there. And so here they were not walking in the flesh, but they were praying in the spirit. They were worshiping in the spirit. They were seeking God in the spirit. That is where it is when we get to a place where we forget about this natural inclinations, but we start leaning on what God desires and what God wants to do, and we start becoming the vessel that God has called us to be. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
He continues on in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Let me tell you, when we're dealing with things in our lives, it is not all about the carnal things here. It is not about the physical things, but it's about the spiritual things. Because he goes on to say, "But mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds," that when we are in a place where we're seeking God, we see things happen. It's through the power of prayer. And you see, when we go back into the book of Acts and we look at what had transpired in that place, it was because they were praying before God moved.
Amen.
We forget that is the first response for us as believers. That we seek God first. Then all these things shall be added unto you. That's scriptural. That is scriptural. But we forget and we say, I need to do this, or I need to make this, or I need to complete this. And we forget God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things. You see? And they were seeking after God. And God manifested in that upper room in a mighty way. And then they stepped out. Are you hearing me this morning? They were in prayer and then they stepped out. They were in worship and then they stepped out. They were in communion with God and then they stepped out. They were in fellowship with one another. They were loving one another. They were united with one another. And then they stepped out and God moved and God saved and God miraculously came upon the scene. You see, we do not walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Through God. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It is not in your own power. It is not in your own strength. I believe that when we looked at the book of where David, King David said, it is not by my might, you know, but it's through the power of God that's going to be, that this Philistine is going to be delivered into my hand. He recognized where his might was. He recognized where his strength was. His strength was in the living God that is able to move mountains. It was in the living God that was able to deliver. It was in the living God that made it all possible. You see, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, but these are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. You see, the strongholds at that time were the strongholds of worldly wisdom. It was worldly strength. And Paul was reminding them, oh, you're going about it all wrong. You're relying upon your own strength. You're relying upon your own wisdom. Oh, that's not how it works. It works through prayer. It works through fasting. It works through relying upon the power and the only power of God. That's how things get accomplished. Amen. That is how. And so, he goes on to say in this verse, that through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to remind you today, the devil is here to undermine your faith. If he can get you to think of ways to accomplish what needs to be done without God, then he's going to do it. If he can get you to think of what can happen and you don't have the strength, he's going to do it. But you see, we are warring in the Spirit. We are challenging him this morning, but not on our own, but in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. You see, once again, in the book of Acts, they didn't challenge on their own. When they stepped forth and God was about to move, it was through the unction of the Holy Spirit that God was able to move. It was through the unction of the Holy Spirit that God was able to minister to the people that got saved. 3,000. Why? Because they spent time in prayer. And it wasn't just one. It wasn't just two. But the Word of God says that they were all in prayer and in one accord. You see. And something happened. It's time to get to the place where we become the prayer warriors that God has called us to be. That's where the power is at. Not our power. His power.
Amen.
That's the only way. We're just a vessel. We're just a vessel, a mouthpiece. It is not my own accord that I stand up here this morning. It is not in my own accord that I preach the word. But it's through the power of the unction of the Holy Spirit. You receive it. All I do is preach it. You take it. You run with it. All I do is share it. It is the power of the word. Whether you receive it or not, it's up to you. Hello. But it's through prayer, fasting, and reading the Word of God is how the Word of how God moves and how God manifests. It is nothing that I can do to make it happen except getting connected with God. Are you hearing me this morning? You see, the strategy of the enemy, let me share this for a second, is to block the knowledge of the Word of God so that you don't know that you're a threat when you start to pray. So that you don't know that you can cause havoc in the kingdom of the enemy. Hello?
Amen.
You are a threat when you get on your knees and pray. Amen. Let me tell you, I've seen when we pray that God delivers in such a mighty way, you can't say, oh, that was just man. No, no, no. But it was all God. When God starts answering prayers, there's no man that can get the glory of that. But the strategy of the enemy is to block the knowledge that is found in the Word of God, and then to block the application that is found in the Word of God. Too many times we get to the first point. We know about the Word. We know what it has to say. But we forget to apply the Word of God. And as the disciples were in that upper room, they did all of that and more. You see, they applied it. They broke down the walls of tension. They broke down the strongholds that the enemy was trying to bring up. But even in the midst of it all, as I was reading the story in the book of Acts, there was a part where they came out and they started sharing the goodness of God. They started proclaiming what God was doing in their lives and in their hearts. You see, there was a revival that was happening. But even in the midst of a revival, there was some that said, oh, these men are drunk. There were some that said, oh, man, look at these foolish men. There were some that scorned at them. There were some that were whispering. There were some that saying, oh, this can't be happening. There were some that saying, oh, this isn't for real. But when they started looking at the heart, they started listening to what they were saying. They started realizing that there was truth and that there was power. There was power because they were in prayer and they were in one accord. That is where it happens. When we get a hold of the Almighty God, and when we get a hold of His throne and allow Him to move in our lives, we will see a change.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, I'm going to say this. Normally I don't go in this direction, but Satan is like the media. He wants you to hear only the things that is going to benefit him. He wants you to stay tuned to his station. He wants to tickle the ears of the listeners. Make sure he has them in his corner. But it's time to switch the channel.
Amen.
Because what lies are you listening to? Because the enemy will tell you that you cannot be a vessel of God. The enemy will tell you all the bad things that you have done in the past is still there and it's not under blood. But the Word of God says that I've been clean. The Word of God says that I have victory. The Word of God says what was past is in the past. And what lies before us is the hope and the future that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You see, that is where it's at. You need to know your enemy. And to know your enemy is to get down in prayer and let God reveal what He's about to do. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hear the amens. Hallelujah. Preparation is in order to be able to stand in the face of adversity. Are you hearing me? Preparation is in order. You see, it wasn't a coincidence that the disciples were in the upper room. That was preparation. They were just worshiping. That was preparation. They were just praying. That was preparation. Because God's Word has stated over and over, He desires the communion that He has with His people. Why? Because it opens up their eyes to the tactics of the enemy. And He prepares them for war. And it's time that we stand up and start to fight in the Spirit. You see, we can't influence our society and be properly armed unless prayer has become the intricate part of our lives. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
We can't affect society. I can't affect the unsaved unless prayer is part and the Holy Spirit is working. You see, that is where the change begins. That is where the change happens. You see. Hallelujah. And I might add, it has to be done with a pure motive. to draw the heart of God towards you. I was reading in the book of Isaiah 58. I had to share this with my wife and with my children the other day. As I was reading this, it was a powerful chapter. And I would ask that you would just read it and open up your eyes to what lays there in the scriptures. But here in Isaiah 58, we find that as you read, you find that there was that God was trying to bring restoration once again. He was reminding his people what it is to truly fast, what it is to truly worship, what it is to truly pray. And in these scriptures, you're going to find that their worship was an empty ritual. Oh, do we get to a place where it can become an empty ritual? Can we go to church and it become an empty ritual? Can we pray and it become an empty ritual? Can we just lift up our hands and it become an empty ritual? Yes, it can. But we need to have a purpose so that it doesn't become an empty ritual. He was looking for worship from a humble heart, a willing vessel. And he reminded them that satisfaction doesn't come from the material things, but it comes from God. You see. And so as I was reading this, I was amazed by how this is being played out in today's society as well. That we become where it's more of a habit, a ritual. We need to forget about time and seek God.
Amen.
You hear me? We need to forget about time and seek God. I love those days where in worship, all of a sudden, realize, oh, we've been here for a while because we're lost in the presence of God.
Amen.
Lost in His love, lost in what He's doing in our lives and what He's revealing. Oh, to get back to that place and become the powerhouse that God has called us to be. You see, in James chapter 5, verse 16, we're familiar with this verse, and we've said this many times, but I want it to sink into your spirit this morning. It says the effectual, fervent prayer. It's not the 5-minute prayer. It's a prayer that means something. It's a prayer that desires something. It's a prayer that is emotional. It's a prayer that is passionate. It's a prayer that is chasing after the God of the universe. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, and we wonder, but we prayed. But we worship. Look at Isaiah. But we did this. Isaiah 58. But we did that. And God says, but I see your heart. And it doesn't match. But throughout the Word of God, we find the men of God that prayed. They prayed first. And God moved. Elijah prayed. And the heavens were stopped up. Daniel prayed knowing the repercussions of his prayer. And he went back to his original spot in front of the window to pray again, knowing that there was a decree that said, if those that bowed down to any other god than the God that was made, they were going to die. But yet he says, there's only one God that I'm bowing down. Not that God that you created, but the God that wasn't created, the God of the universe. And Daniel bowed down to him and prayed. Sometimes, here's a little extra. Sometimes you pray and God doesn't deliver you. Uh-oh. It got quiet. Daniel prayed, and God didn't deliver him. He still went into the lion's den. Are you hearing me? I said sometimes prayer is preparation for what lies ahead. Sometimes prayer is so that you're ready to face what is in store for you, and so that you can glorify God in the midst of it. And the Word of God says that Daniel was thrown in, but God delivered him then. You see, he had to go through it so that others can see the power of God. You see, sometimes God says, that's not my plan. You're going to have to go through this. That way people can see my hand at work in the lives, in their lives. You see, as I was studying, there's a realization here. It wasn't that they were made to pray. They had transitioned into a lifestyle of prayer. It says, I want to, I need to pray. It's because it sustains me physically. It sustains me mentally. It sustains me spiritually. Are you hearing me this morning? It sustains you physically. It sustains you mentally. And it sustains you spiritually. That when we get to a place where God is the only thing that matters, it doesn't matter what your face, bodily, he will sustain you. It doesn't matter what you think, as long as you are focused upon the Word of God, upon God, God will sustain you mentally. I was reminded where a sister in the Lord reminded me, she said that she was going through something, and as she read the Word of God, it kind of brought her back to focus of who God is and who God will be.
Amen.
He sustains you mentally, and he sustains you spiritually. It's a no-brainer when we choose a lifestyle of prayer. Because even Jesus said, you know, if you think your dads and your moms are doing good and giving you these gifts, but listen to me, there's a Father in heaven can do so much more better.
Amen.
My words, but in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, that's where it's found. You see, we need to get back to the place where it's a reverence for the things of God, a reverence of prayer, a prayer that is one of seeking God's guidance and seeking God's face before we even plan to do anything. Hallelujah. Prayer changes. Prayer affects. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer rebuilds. Prayer restores. In God. In God. In God. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want to challenge you this morning. We need to know that the enemy of our soul will try its best to destroy you. And you need to prepare. You need to prepare. That no matter what you face, in the midst of prayer, God will sustain you. But I don't know your battles. That's okay. I know what God has done in the past. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
You see, the Word of God states it. That's good enough. Because we know the truth of the Word of God. And we're standing upon the Word of God. And so I challenge you this morning. Whatever you are dealing with this morning, start with prayer. Start with prayer. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. But I'm going to turn this over to Paul to pray. And right now, we're going to be in agreement with you. And if you have a prayer this morning, would you stretch forth your hand? and say, Lord, I'm in agreement. As your word states, that whatever we are going through, we can bind it here and it's bound there. That we can be in agreement and God will deliver. And God will move in such a mighty way. Those troubles in the family, we're in agreement that God is able to shut the mouths. God is able to deliver. God is able to save your loved ones. We're in agreement this morning. We're in agreement that God is able to minister to your finances. We're in agreement that God is able to sustain you when you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with right now. We're in agreement. Why? Because the Word says so. That my God is able. Oh.
David said in the Psalms, my soul followeth hard after thee. Early in the morning will I rise up and seek thee, because thou hast been my help. Under the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. The Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah, and he said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou walkest through the waters,
yes,
I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God. Oh, this morning, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed in your presence.
Yes.
As I was listening to the word being preached this morning, my heart was so rejoicing in you.
Hallelujah.
Thou preparest a table before me.
Yes.
In the presence of mine enemies.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And even as the pastor said, Daniel wasn't delivered from. He was delivered through the lion's den. And so this morning, God, we acknowledge as we look around, we've got enemies. And right now, Lord, as I look into the night seasons in prayer, as I begin to study and watch the temperatures of this nation, I'm seeing your word, the prophecies come to pass. That we're going through the falling away. And God, I lift up right now this church. I lift up this group of people before me. Lord, that you would begin to stir up the gift that's within them.
Yes.
That they would have a yearning in their heart to seek you now, such as they've never done before. Oh God, that they would begin in the night seasons to cry out to you. And to wait upon you. Lord, the people need to arise. Let the worshipers arise. Let the people of God lift up their hearts to you now in this season and stir us, God. We need another Pentecost. Oh God, I pray for a Pentecost that will out-Pentecost.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh God, we need a touch from you. And I pray every family before me here, every person here, every individual, God, that we would lift up even now, set aside whatever is hurting, whatever is bothering us, and lay it down.
Yes,
and just seek your face.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh God, we long for you this morning.
Hallelujah,
I long for God, a time when the people of God would come together in unity, no more division.
Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Just unity. I think of what it says in the Psalms. It's like the oil running down the beard of Aaron. Oh God, we need that oil to run down. That we could love one another, care enough for one another, to pray for one another. Help us, God, to come together. We've got enemies. They're destroying. They're attacking. I can look at it nationwide, God. in the government. They want to destroy the nation. I can look at it in the church. They want to. I can look at it in the families. There's division. I can look at it in my own heart. There's division.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, that we could unify, come together,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
and just worship you. Oh, I pray for a healing to come, for a revelation to come.
Señor, hallelujah.
Another Pentecost.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah.
Set the people of God free. That it's not just another prayer. Lord, let it arise from the depths of the heart.
Yes.
Even as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let that arise. Even as Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed unto His death. Let that arise. God, I want to know You this morning. I want to know You. And yes, I want the power. But I recognize it comes with a cost. Oh God, let each one of us say, I embrace the cost. The fellowship of suffering to be conformed to Your death, God.
Yes.
We just want to know You. To love You. To honor You. Oh God, I'm praying for revival. I'm calling for a revival. Let the people of God arise. Oh God, that You would begin to move right now in this mix of people.
Yes.
I don't know who all's here. I can't see through windshields. But God, You know.
Hallelujah.
I pray, God, that You would begin to bring healing.
Yes.
There's one that's in hurt, that's in pain. I saw it, God.
Father. Yes, Lord.
That You would touch her right now. The tears that were shed earlier. That You would begin to bring healing.
Yes, Father.
The joy of the Lord is Your strength.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He sees every tear you've shed. He collects them in a bottle. He knows You're hurt. Oh God,
hallelujah,
that You would heal
hallelujah.
That person right now. And God, that You would take the ones that are in fear. God, that You would remove that fear. Because Your promise is fear not.
Yes.
And You said it's 365 times a day.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh God, help us. That one that's fearing.
Yes,
set
Lord.
Them free. The one who's in division, who can't choose, who doesn't know which way to go. Oh God, that You would clarify.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That they would humble themselves. Lord, I'm thinking right now of Isaiah 66:1. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is the house that You will build for me? All these things I've created for my pleasure. But on this one will I look. He who has clean hands and a pure
Amen.
Heart. And who trembles at my word. Oh God, this morning, let there be a trembling come back to the church.
Yes.
Let there be a fear of God. Just consume us, a holy reverential fear that we would hunger after You, God. Let revival come. Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord. We humble ourselves before You this morning. We don't have the answers, only the questions. We long for You. We long for a touch.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless us this morning, I pray. Touch us this morning. Heal us. Heal our land, I pray. Heal our government, God. Heal the church, I pray. That You would cleanse the pulpits and bring preachers who will preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
To those churches that don't have it, cleanse them.
Yes, Lord.
Bring pastors who are servants.
Hallelujah.
God, the hearts of the sheep. The sheep would no longer bite them, the pastors. But they would be in submission and listen to the word. Oh God, we need unity. Touch
Hallelujah.
Us, God. Heal us, God. Deliver us this day, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. Everybody in agreement who wants unity, everybody who wants healing, everybody who wants the Lord to do a work, I want you to say with me, amen.
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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.